So David, you're someone who, for some reason, I feel like some of the most embarrassing stories I've ever heard are from you. So I feel like you've had some of the just most embarrassing events.
Yeah, and a lot of them for have one happened person. At camps.
At camps.
Yeah, it's like one that comes to my brain immediately. It was Flee the City. Or no, I think that's what it was called.
And these are all various church camps, because yes, you kind of grew up
it
in
was
church.
Like a father-son
camp. Oh, okay.
It's late at night. We're all sitting around the campfire. And someone, I think it was Josh Dugan, he was like, guys, you know what time it is? I was like, what? He's like, MPT time. I was like, MPT time? He's like, no pants time. And I immediately stood up, and we're all sitting around the campfire, and I just take off my pants. And as soon as I do, this dad, who was like one of the stricter dads, comes walking out, and he's like looking at us, and he's like, guys, it is way past your bedtime. You need to be in bed right now. Why are you guys up? And the whole time, I'm like, my pants are down. and I'm like slowly, and like everyone is just like not even paying attention to the dad. They're all just trying not to laugh at me. And like, I just slowly like bend over and I just grab my pants and I start to pull them up. And I just remember like he leaves and then everyone just started busting out laughing. Like, oh yeah, that I feel like that was maybe like 7th grade, 8th grade. So I was still younger. We were all younger. But yeah, I don't even know if the dad noticed me, or if he did, he didn't say anything.
Just like blocked it.
Yeah,
like,
out of his guys, head. I don't know what you guys were doing. But yeah, that's a big embarrassing, like funny story that comes to mind whenever I think of like younger camp days.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Camp Austin?
Not when I was around that age. I didn't meet you. Well, I mean, I was actually thinking about this the other day. Josh, I wouldn't know you if it weren't for David, basically.
Really?
You're welcome.
You're yeah, welcome, I mean, Tooth.
Yeah, like when... Because I just randomly... I wasn't in the homeschool co-op anymore. But after I was already in public school, I went to one of these like yearly picnic things they had. I think I didn't even want to go. My mom just like pushed me to go because I had no friends. Mm-hmm. And the only person I really knew was Ben Nelson, who was down the street. And anyway, like I go there and Ben is hanging out with Caleb and David. And that was when I met both of them. And so obviously we had Caleb on the podcast, like whatever, 2 episodes, 3 episodes back, something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and because I met them, I went to
Heritage.
Yeah, Heritage, that church, and that's where we met.
Yep.
And I met the people from my first band. Yeah. So it's crazy, like
the chain of events.
Yeah, the chain of events. And even before I met you, you know, I wanted to play music. Mm-hmm. I'd wanted to play in a band, and I thought about it all the time. But I didn't know anyone, and I didn't know how to know anyone. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to meet anyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it was more of just, I don't know, it happened by chance or whatever. I put out the right energy. Mm-hmm. Once I realized I was in the presence of the right people or people who are involved with music, mm-hmm. which weirdly enough were people at Heritage, but
well, yeah. I mean, like
it's in it. And I'll say this too. It's like, it's strange. Maybe people from other places, but like here in Oklahoma, like the music scene, even the underground music scene and the metal music scene was like always really intertwined with lots of churches.
Yeah.
And like the youth and the teenagers at church
for the churches. Time period, especially. Yeah. Cause there's so much like,
yeah. Well, that was the peak of Under Oath.
Yeah. Like Christian metal and yeah, things like that. There were a lot of youth groups at shows and
stuff. Well, like Harp and Lyre.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Clay was at, and I think Noah mm-hmm. was at Heritage for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Clay, I mean, Clay was our like youth group leader for a long time.
I have a very, 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 this might be wrong, but I think I have a very vague memory of being babysat by Clay's sister.
Oh yeah.
And Clay and his brother were there, like that type of shit. Cause it was, it was like a church friend that my parents needed to babysit me and my sister or something like that. Yeah. Crazy how all these chains of events happen. Yeah. And especially when you're younger, like, it seems like most of the interactions that people have when they're younger are kind of just by chance, because you don't really know.
I mean, like, it's all saying, your parents pretty much taking you to the places.
You don't really, like you're saying, like, most kids don't even know how to, like, introduce themselves. Or if they do, it's by chance. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just pulled Austin aside. Or, like, or I was like, I'm going to call you Todd. And I didn't even, like, get his real name.
Yeah, he just said I looked like Todd. Todd? I was like, whatever, someone's talking to me. I was like,
whatever, someone's talking.
We were, like, 13, I think.
What?
We were, like, 13 or something.
Like, in that phase where, like, random is really funny, and so it's just like, you look like a Todd, I'm gonna call you Todd. And then I think you called me Kevin or something like that.
I was probably trying to insult you, but either way,
from the office.
You're a man with many names. Gus, Todd,
others that we won't name. Secret online names, darknet identities,
fat ass
server domain name addresses, but I forgot what I was gonna say.
That's okay, dude. Josh, I don't even, like, I'm trying to think of, like, how you and I became, like, friends or, like, acquaintances, besides, like, I feel like it just had to do a lot with the bands.
Yeah, and,
like, because, like,
or maybe, like, the Dugans or something.
Yeah. Probably the Dugans. I mean, you guys played football together and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and Landon and Grant, all of you guys.
It would have just had to have been like Wednesday night church.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess shows here and there. Yeah.
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 You ever go to do a Facing Giants reunion show with David's Mighty Men?
I think we did one. I think we did one a couple years ago. Someone had passed away in, like, the scene, and someone put together, like, some kind of show for them or something.
I think that was Tim.
Fun. Yeah, yeah.
That was Tim's, like, going away show, basically.
So I think we technically already did our reunion show.
Missed it.
But.
No one needs reunion shows. Old things, you know.
Old things better to come make and gone. Things.
Exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah. Man, I'm sad. I'm gonna be leaving Oklahoma soon. I'm gonna be you and many others, not too many, but a few others here I've known for a really long time and have been connected with and have helped me grow and kind of get to where I am. I feel a little credit for where I am. I feel like I've kind of just bounced off of a lot of positive people I've run into and people who've had a positive influence on me when, you know, other people in my life, like my brothers, for example, kind of just ran into negative people and it's not necessarily their fault. Just like, I don't necessarily feel credit for it. Anyway, that's a whole rabbit hole, but
yeah,
all that to say there's a lot of people here that have had like a real positive impact on me. And I think I've taken it for granted in a lot of ways. And I don't reach out as much as I could and all that stuff that people feel, but
dude, it's hard reaching out, man. Like
it takes energy. And like when, as you're getting into these adult mid-20s ages, like we are, like once you get off insurance, once you have to get your own insurance, basically, that's
your
like,
you're overthinking shit all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes type of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just a lot more stretched for time. So
yeah,
it's hard.
And I mean, but that also goes for the other person too, like it everyone, you know, is it, because sometimes like I feel like I'll be like, man, like I haven't reached out to them, but also they haven't reached out to me either. So like it's one of those things where it's like, you know, they're going through the same stuff that we're mm-hmm. going through. You know, they got life, they got a job, they got, you know, bills, they got all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's where, like, at some point I switch the frame. I don't always feel this way, but I try and remind myself that it's almost always the other person. Like, you think it's you. For example, someone's not hitting you back, or someone's ghosting you, or I think someone ghosting you, that's kind of the perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Okay, yeah, if you're a guy just like hitting up a girl again and again, like maybe yeah, it no, is like you. Actual, it's probably yeah, you.
It's probably you.
Yeah. But yeah. But like in general, just people feel like, oh, maybe they're mad at me, or maybe this or that, or we're always analyzing how people are looking at us, assuming that people are always thinking about us and considering us, but yeah. really it's like people are just thinking about themselves, and they likely feel the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't have to carry that responsibility. But at the same time, it's a good thing to be the one to reach out also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I run into that problem sometimes, and then I do have to remind myself. I'm like, oh wait, they're not thinking about me, but not in a negative way. It's like, yeah. it's just, you yeah. just, yeah, you don't realize it at the time.
I told Caleb last week, actually, I was like, man, like, you know, I love the times that I get to spend with you. Cause like, dude, me and the Dugans, like growing up my whole life, like it was either Zach and Caleb were at my house one weekend, and then the next weekend I was over there. Like,
gotcha.
And yeah. like now, you know, Zach lives in St. Louis, and he has, you know, he's married, has two kids. Caleb, he's like on his way to becoming a doctor, mm-hmm. and like he's married, has Gray. And, like, I told him last week, because last week was the first time I had seen him in over a year. And I was like, man, like, I hate to even say this, but, like, whenever it comes to me, like, wanting to hang out with people, like, it, you don't even come on my radar anymore. And I was like, I hate saying that, but it's true. Because, like, you, I just know you are so busy all yeah. the time. And I respect that. And I want you to do your thing. And, like, he understood. And he was like, yeah, man, it, he's like, it does suck because... He's like, you don't, it's just a part of growing up. Mm-hmm. And it sucks.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
It is the I way think it's it
a
is.
Part that a lot of people, or at least I didn't hear a lot of that growing up, where people would be like, should hang out with the people that you really want to hang out with, because one day you're not going to be able to at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's going to feel like you can't at all.
Or something. And yeah. And I really want, I've been thinking about, I a lot of ideas around this lately, and I want to fight against that and push against it and kind of just, I don't know, take it apart.
As you're about to move.
Yeah. As I'm about to move, like, somewhere where I
know. You know what I should really do right now?
Literally the one guy I know is an Aussie that I met on LinkedIn, and I'm renting my condo from him.
Oh, that's a pretty crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
He's from Australia.
Yeah. Mate. He's from Australia.
Bobby.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I'll just go ahead and tell it, because it's a miracle from God or whatever.
So anyway,
no, but like before I even started interviewing with this company, I start talking to this dude on LinkedIn, which I sadly had to start going to LinkedIn for my job search. But he was just trying to help me out randomly. Was super nice. I was like, who is this dude? And he told me he was also trying to become a developer. But anyway, at one point after we had already met, I asked him where he lived, and he was like, Lehi, Utah. And I was like, oh, Lehi, Utah.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar. And then I realized I just applied to a company that was located in Lehi. And I told him, I was like, hey, maybe I'll get hired. We can get a beer. And he was like, yeah, if you do, I have a condo and I'll rent it out to you. Which for me at the time, I was like, that's a pretty forward thing to be saying. Kind of. I was like, wow, okay. Cool. But turns out, yeah.
Fast forward.
Yeah, fast forward a few months, looked at a lot of places, talked to a lot of people, and my guy Luke came through. He's also into Bitcoin. That's another thing we're talking
dude,
about.
Dude, and he's from Australia?
Yeah.
Dude, that's so dope. What if he takes you to Australia someday?
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
He's an interesting guy. Luke,
if you are listening, take Austin.
I'm sure. I don't think he knows that I have a podcast. I literally tell no one.
about your podcast?
Yeah, I haven't really told this. People either. It's more exciting to hear when people are like, hey, I've been listening to it, and you haven't really said anything, because then it's like, it almost, I don't know, means a little more. Like,
I mean, the only reason I found out about it was Vincent posted about it, and I was like, oh, cool. And then I listened to the first episode, and I was like, oh, that was really cool. And then I continued.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, cool. Thanks for being
a consistent listener. So
supportive. You're
welcome. It makes my morning commute better. Like, I don't really listen to podcasts, like, ever. I kind of struggle.
Missing out.
I know. That's what everyone tells me. But, like, I really struggle with listening to podcasts. I just really enjoy listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know. Like, I guess the idea of it is, like, knowing you guys and, like, being able to be like, oh, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or, like, I know who they're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's really fun for me. And so it makes my commute to work a lot better, because I'm like, I know what they're talking about. That's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I find myself sometimes not being able to listen to some podcasts, though, too. Recently. Maybe that's just because after, I feel like I'm burned out, but I can kind of get that. Sometimes there's just nothing to listen to for me, like, at least.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It can go back and forth, but for some stuff with me, I can just sit down and, like, certain podcast, like, I was listening to a podcast about consciousness the other day, which, for many people, that can be an extremely boring topic, and I just sat down for 2 hours and was just listening intently to this podcast and thinking about it, and then I just looked up and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm 2 hours into this podcast, holy shit. And it's not like I was sitting
out of your mouth.
Wow.
Well, I was like sitting at my desk for 1 hour of it, and then I like,
but you're like doing other things, right?
Not really.
I was literally staring at a wall, just like listening to it. Was that what you were doing?
Not quite, but see, I don't do that super often. Usually I'm doing other stuff, but sometimes it's cool. Like, if you're really curious, some stuff for me, like, I listened to this like 9-hour podcast series that was all just about, like, the history of money.
9 hours.
And, oh, and it was just like, it was like intellectual candy to me. I finished it in like 2.5 days. Dang. Like, I was putting it on like whenever I could. I was just thinking about it, and I don't know, some stuff like, and you never know what that shit is gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, sometimes you're almost embarrassed for what it is. I've felt that a lot of times in my life, but
I feel that way. I found a few podcasts that are like entertainment voice actors doing horror stories, and like,
whoa,
they'll like they'll put Foley in it, which is like the music and sounds from like a movie.
Yeah.
So it's like everything.
So it's a little bit creepy.
Everything but the movie.
Everything but the visuals.
Yeah, you'll get the audio, the people talking, and people describe it as a book as well.
Yeah,
there's some of them that are pretty creepy.
You get a little tingles down your spine.
Yeah, but sometimes I do feel a little self-conscious about it. When I'll stop for a second, I'm like, I'm listening to a horror movie? I don't know. It feels weird. It's a very niche, like, there's not that many of them, too. So it's just like a very niche side of podcasting that I don't feel like I could relate to someone at a bar. I'm like, yeah, listen to these horror stories on this podcast.
And no way, me too.
Yeah.
Let's get a beer.
Right.
Well, a lot of people listen to, like, what is it? It was like the subreddit.
No Sleep.
No Sleep. Yeah.
These
like
are
that,
a little different. They have like
they're
more in depth, and they run like seasons of a show. There'll be like 6 episodes, and then there's a next season, and like things like that.
That reminds me, I've been looking into this weird niche YouTube rabbit hole of, well, you can start with like lo-fi music, and then from there you discover that there's like 100 subgenre categories, and you can go into one of those, and then there's even more of those. But one I've discovered is people doing like lo-fi beats behind like philosophy lectures, or like Alan Watts.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
And one of those producers, one of the biggest ones, named Akira the Don, he just like finds stuff that like he thinks is like really good philosophy information or education or whatever, and then just like mixes it with lo-fi beats. Huh. And it's like hour plus long videos. But he recently did a mix of Dune, the entire book, like the sci-fi novel.
Like an audio book?
Yeah, a lo-fi beat Dune. The audiobook. And I just thought, like...
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, we're getting in the depths, but I don't know. I was just... That, like, broke.
We need to get up to the surface.
I'm drowning over here.
That just broke a whole new level for me where I was like, whoa, like, audiobooks that are, like, aesthetically mixed with lo-fi beats... That I don't know. People are mixing a lot of shit together and coming up.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Hmm. Dude, his birthday is today. My 9-year-old cousin, he has autism. And
What's his name?
Daxton.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Shout out Daxton. Happy 9th birthday. We had a Minecraft birthday party for him last night.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. His parents like made these like little brick clays that they got to destroy and find like little golden gems and stuff.
Cool.
Like they were all pretty pumped about it. But anyway, he has like, I'm pretty sure it's Asperger's. But it was really cool. So back in August, I got laid off and I was unemployed for 5 months. And during that 5-month period, I did a lot of babysitting for them and I would help them with schoolwork. And like, I would always play lo-fi beats for them. And like, he literally, like, he loved it. And like, it's funny because like, his dad, wait, do you know Tyler Evans? Does that name sound familiar? He was in the band with Vincent the guy from the lead singer from Harp and Lyre.
Oh, Badlands?
Yeah.
It sounds...
He's really tall.
The last name Evans sounds really familiar.
He works at Walrus.
Okay.
He does like
Walrus Audio.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he he's in charge of like their social media.
I've never talked to him directly, but we probably know like
a lot of the same people.
Yeah. We've just happened to have never talked.
But yeah.
He's like your cousin.
He's my cousin. So this is his kid that we're talking about. But anyway, so I would play lo-fi beats for him all the time, like while studying. And it's funny because his dad, he likes like metal and stuff.
Yeah.
And like he does too, but like, it was fun because I would play.
Gotta have both sides.
Yeah, gotta have that balance.
Well, I feel like it's always cool to find out with like a younger cousin or, in my case, my younger brother. I'll show him some music that I like or things that I like, and it feels nice whenever they're like, play that again it feels cool.
It's always a good feeling whenever you play someone something that you enjoy and they're like, oh, I enjoy that too. It's like,
unprompted, you just put it on.
Yeah, you're welcome. So anyway, but something really cool last night, he got money and he like was pretty bad at counting whenever I was with him. And last night when he got the money, he was just like 1, 2, 3, 4 and he was just going, and I was like, dude, you're counting. Whoa. He counted all the way to 20.
Nice.
And I was just like, oh man, like, it was just really cool. Cause I haven't been with them. Like, I haven't babysat them in a while. Like, it's been since, I want to say like maybe December. Got my job in January.
Does he have pretty like serious Asperger's?
No, he's more on the, I would say, well, I don't really. It's not serious. Like, he's on the Asperger's side, so he's a lot higher functioning. But like, it was just a really cool moment last night. I told my uncle about it because I was standing next to him while we were watching him count.
That's exciting. I mean, my brother has autism, but he's kind of in the same. I don't know what you call it. Yeah, he's higher functioning. And whenever he didn't need like a stuffed animal anymore or something, or like
a big step.
Yeah, or he would like pick things up with like close fists sometimes, and too, like, just sensory things.
How old is he?
He's now almost like 13 or 14.
Okay.
But back when he was younger, yeah, a lot of it was just cool to see, like, he would just do something one day, and it was a great feeling.
Yeah, Daxton has progressed so much. Like he hated taking pictures. And last night, like, every present he'd get, he'd, like, hold it above his head, and he'd just smile. And then they would...
Hell yeah,
like,
cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to see that last night. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, this... I guess we haven't talked about this much, but, like, my brother also has autism. Mm-hmm. He has Asperger's.
Justice.
Yeah. And so we all have, like, probably above average experience. Definitely you, David. You have very high experience just with kind of spending time with people and understanding, like, all the various...
Oh,
like,
yes.
Yeah. A lot. Like, mental disabilities and stuff like that. That non-typical people can have. And, but yeah, like this, like you're talking about lo-fi beats, and I don't know. I was just thinking that, like, people with autism, they have such a different attunement for, like, senses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
For certain types of stuff, like music, like, they can really sense very, very deep into that stuff in a way where a lot of what you would call normal, healthy people
who are
fucking brain dead on their phone all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can hear beautiful music, and it just sounds like, it's just more flat to them. But yeah. And, like, I really admire that about, you know, people with autism.
Dude, autism is seriously, it can be one of the coolest things to like see in a person.
Yeah.
Like just how, I mean, that is like, so when I first went to Barnabas back in 2009, I had never, like, worked with people with special needs prior to that. And I went as a barnstormer, and that 1 week literally changed my whole life. Well, up until, like, 2 years ago. But for the
majority... Well, it changed the direction of your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for my teenage years and, like, early 20s, I mean, it... I mean, I don't know where I would be if I never went to Barnabas. Like, for real.
Wow.
Like, it, I mean, it completely changed my life. I mean, that's where I met Jen, and I got married at camp. Like, yeah. But, like, anyway, going back, so...
What's a barnstormer, by the way?
So, they're 13 and 14-year-olds, I think.
Oh, okay.
And they... Dude, barnstormers, like, a lot of people give them crap, but they are hard workers.
Just for context, this is a camp for special needs kids, but they take a lot of volunteers.
Yeah, so, like, youth group. Okay.
So you start doing this in 2009. Yeah,
they're not campers. So they come in, and they pretty much, like, clean all the bathrooms. They clean all the cabins. They pretty much do, like,
grunt work.
Yes, the grunt work. Nobody wants to do this work, but, like, it's also so much fun because, like, you're coming in with, like, your youth group or whoever you're coming in with, and then, like, everyone else who is doing it too is, like, all there for the same reasons, and they make it a lot of fun. But, like, at the end of the day, like, when you, like, step back and be like, wow, I just scrubbed, like, 17 toilets in a row. That sucked. Yeah. A lot of them were full of schnite. So, so it's like, wow. But, like, you know, like, it's really cool, you know, that 13 and 14-year-olds give up a week of their summer to go do that.
Yeah.
And so anyway, each barnstormer, they get assigned to a cabin for their week. And, like, that's their cabin that they... like, prepare meals for, serve them, clean their cabin. They'll, like, go on, like, their activity with them. So, like, if they go to fishing, they'll go with them or whatever. So, anyway, my first time, I went as a barnstormer. And, like I said, I had never really experienced or worked with people with special needs. And there was a camper who was in my cabin. His name was Berkeley. And... dude, he was obsessed with Disney. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, the kids, like, he knew like every Disney song, every character. He brought two suitcases. One was like for the week, like for his clothes, and the other one was just full of like dolls and books and Disney stuff.
Wow.
And like, I mean, they were like the big suitcases.
Yeah, yeah.
And like
travel size.
Yeah. And like, as a, you know, as a 13-year-old, like seeing that for the first time, like I was just like, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. this is wild. You know, I'd never.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I like seeing people with special needs at school and stuff, but like working with them one-on-one for an entire week, like it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, so it is a Christian-based camp. And so like everything you do, you know, you pray or what. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, yeah. But when I went home that week, I told my mom, I was like, I know what I want to do with my life. I want to become a special needs teacher, which I didn't. And that's okay. I turned like, yeah.
Well, you did fully go down that path.
I did. You fully committed to that path
for a long time. And you came out to the other side and realized it wasn't for you.
Yes.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally fair.
I mean, that's when I went to college, that's what I was going to college for.
Okay.
And so, like going into high school, like I got really involved with the special needs program at my high school, and my senior year, I was like in charge of what we call, we were the Patriots, PC West, shout out. we were the Patriots, and I was in charge of what we called Patriot Pals, which is where like once a month we would have like the special needs program come down and we would like spend the day with them, like doing just like fun stuff, like playing in the gym, like mm-hmm. stuff like that. And
wait, PC West, did you know Vincent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I Vincent and I knew each other, but we didn't know each
gotcha.
Other.
That's wild.
Yeah. Holy crap. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. So it's a small world.
That just dawned on me. You said PC West. I was like, yeah. Oh, wow.
I know you've had two Patriots on your podcast. Go West. But anyway, I actually started the first ever special needs prom at West. And as far as I know, to this day, it still goes on.
Wow. That's awesome.
Damn. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Like I was,
that sounds fun. I hated prom. Yeah. I would have much rather gone to special needs prom.
It was, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
I've always appreciated that about you. You've always had, you know, a big heart, especially towards specifically special needs kids, which is cool. But I mean, towards everyone, like you're nice and you're friendly and it's just like through and through a part of your personality, which is great. People like that are a gift to the world. You know, if everyone is like me, like
an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. If everyone you're not was an asshole. Like
you're not.
God, you just destroy the planet. But, yeah, so I appreciate that about you, David. But
I don't like being mean. Like
it's a shitty feeling.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny sometimes. I don't know.
I mean, yeah,
in the
sure.
moment it can be many things. Being mean in the moment can be so many different things, but afterwards it always has the same feeling.
Yeah. I feel like you don't sleep as peacefully at night unless you're just a real ass. Then you're like, yeah, I really screwed that guy over. Good night.
I've done some of the meanest things I've ever done, I think, have been to you. Probably. Around you.
Damn.
David. Yeah.
Dude, that's okay. You'll give an example. I'm trying to think of something right now.
Well, I can think of something mean you did to me when you punched me in the face.
Dude, okay. So we were chess locking.
Okay.
And like
casually after Sunday church. Yeah. In my front yard. We were shirtless. Chest locking.
Well, and this dumb nuts, he ducked as I was going in, and I just knocked him right in the forehead.
So he didn't actually punch you in the face. I mean, he actually punched you in the face, but
you know, he says it was an accident.
Dude, I did the same thing to my brother one time. We were chess boxing, really? and he
ducked.
Yeah.
See, you shouldn't duck. If the other person's aiming for the chest, it's kind of the duck is if they're aiming your head. Yeah. See, that's. That's the thing, but you know, I'm used to real fights, so that's how you gotta be.
So I'm on mine and Austin's like Facebook, So if you...
Oh, gross. I know. My Facebook is supposed to be destroyed.
It's not.
It's not. I know. I have to keep it up or else one of my apps breaks. My app that helps people get rid of their Facebook will break if I get rid of my Facebook. So,
well, anyway. Thank God it's not broken right now because there's some good stuff. So on March 5th, 2010, you sent a message to me that says, David, thanks to you, I now have like 50 bruises on my back. How the pound, percent sign, and sign, star sign, nice. Supposed to know what doorknob means?
Nice. I was centering myself there.
Yeah. That's good. And I commented, ha 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 ha, with like at least 25 exclamation points. And you said, this Wednesday, I'm going to give you the ass kicking of a lifetime. And you spell ass with a $$. And I said, oh shit. But I spelt it S pound space percent sign at sign.
Nice. Thank you for that rundown.
Yeah. And then
that's a relic.
Yeah. There was definitely lots of beatings and physical altercations and stuff like that.
Yeah, April 9th, 2010, you said, dude, you broke my toe Wednesday night. You're so dead. And I commented and I said, ha ha ha, I really exaggerated these ha 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 ha's, but it, like a ton of exclamation points, and then it says, I'm so sorry, exclamation point, like 1,000 of them. Dude, you broke my toe Wednesday night. You're so dead. My first ever Facebook
man, that was comment you to can you. Tell that was before Facebook's all these social media's privacy policies. Because right now, if I sent threats over any social media, I would get
you're so permaband. Dead.
Yeah, like, you're so dead Wednesday night. I'm gonna tweet
at this specific location
at Heritage Baptist Church.
You did this to
council
me,
and
this
memorial.
Person. You're dead.
Dude, my first ever thing to you was Todd, and then you put Kevin. That was my friend, the first ever Facebook thing.
God, as much,
May 7th, 2009.
As much as I despise Facebook and Zuck.
You're thankful for times like that.
You know, I leveraged it for certain things. David, I wanted to ask you about, obviously you worked at Barnabas for many years, like what, 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row?
I was a barnstormer for 2 years. Then I volunteered, 4 different weeks, throughout my high school. And then like throughout my high school career, like during the summer. And then 2014 summer, 15, 16, and 17, I was at camp all summers.
All summer?
Mm-hmm. Wow. 3 months. And then, but also, there is a 2 year, part of my life where I was consecutively 2 years in a row with Barnabas. So it started in May of 2016. I went to camp, and then after camp, I went to Barnabas prep. And then camp, and then prep again.
Wow.
And then I couldn't do another summer.
Yeah.
I
imagine.
So prep, do you know what Barnabas prep is?
Hey, I'm assuming you just are getting ready for everything, like for the whole camp?
Barnabas prep is a college for people with special needs. Okay. It's a 9-month program, and it's literally like it's during the school year. Mm. And so it's located in Branson, Missouri. And pretty much, you work every single day with people with special needs, teaching them how to be independent. So like you teach them basic life skills. So how to cook, how to clean, how to do laundry, how to fill out a resume, how to apply for jobs.
Wow.
Like we would take a lot of the students like in Branson. Have you ever been to Branson? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I've only gone to the theme park there, but
Silver Dollar City.
Yeah.
It's a good park.
It's great.
Yeah. So Yeah, I've been there multiple times, but it's crazy because Branson was like the family vacation that my family would do like every summer growing up as a kid. So like living there for 2 years was kind of a trip because I was like, I mean, this is where I would go for vacation, like with my family. And now I live here.
I feel like Branson, Missouri is such the classic like Bible Belt family vacation spot.
Oh, absolutely.
The same thing.
Sure.
I mean, we would go if we wanted a cheap vacation.
Yeah. Like we, I mean, it's pretty much hillbilly Hollywood. They just have so many weird things.
Got a goddamn cave over there.
Yeah, they got caverns.
Jar. Got caverns.
Yeah.
Saltwater taffy.
A lot of saltwater taffy. A lot of mini golf. Yeah. So much mini golf. Yeah. Like every other block. It's like dispensaries here. Yeah. Except it's like
mini golf.
Mini golf. Putt-putt. Yeah, putt-putt. Which honestly made for a fun time because it was only like, it'd be like $10 to play. And like,
it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Bro, mini golf is trash. I hate mini golf.
Dude, boy. I've been thinking about going and playing mini golf and I'm 27.
Hey, you know, that's fine.
Dave, go let's go play mini golf.
Dude, I'm so down.
When I do things, I do them big.
You like to go
Have
with
you
the
ever
pros?
Played golf?
I don't know. I do it even bigger than golf. Fuck golf.
Okay.
I'm playing the big leagues of.
What, Rocket League?
Okay, Tiger Woods. Jeez.
Super Mario Golf? Is that what you play?
Nah, man, I'm playing the grind, bro. The real grind, real life. You wouldn't know about it.
I don't know about it. But anyway, yeah, going back to prep. Yeah, so prep, I mean, prep was such a great time of my life. Like, that's when Jen and I, like, towards the end of prep, we started, because I've known Jen since camp of 2015.
Okay.
And we were just friends for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And actually, during prep, she had a boyfriend for like the first like 7 or 8 months of prep. And he was actually a really good friend of mine. And his name was David.
Whoa, did you kick his ass?
No, I love David. He's such a good guy. And Mr. Studio Girl. No, not really. That sounds so new. That sounds so bad. He was a really cool guy, and it, like he would stay in our room whenever he would come and visit. He lived in Alabama. But during that time, like I never pursued Jen like ever. And then when they broke up, like a month or so later, we realized that we liked each other a lot more than just friends. And then we started dating shortly after. It was a good time. Camp. Well, I have a lot of like interest. Have any questions?
Well,
like,
no, that's like, what I was going to say. I want to ask a few specific questions.
Yeah.
And they're all leaving me, but basically
goodbye.
It's all super vague. It's hard to put it into words because I went to Barnabas a few summers, I think 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the role where I had a camper that like I was, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the whole time, you know, sleeping next to not like in bunk beds. Like, I'm on top bunk.
So are you assigned campers?
So the way,
well, if you're old,
sorry,
if you're old
want
enough,
to
basically
from a question you have.
Yeah. Like if you're younger, then they just would say that's too much responsibility. Once you're like 16 or 17, something like that, then you can have a camper assigned to you. But even then there's other people that are kind of above you that are keeping watch.
You can go to them if you need advanced help with anything.
Yeah. And you always have a third person if you're doing anything that's, you know, could be sensitive, like anything in the bathroom or washing them or anything like that. You always have a third person.
Yeah, it's called the rule of three.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're super careful about it. There's never anything like sketchy about the setup, but nonetheless, like it's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Like you meet these kids or parents a lot of times, and they're just like, you know, telling you all of these different things about them, and you're just like, shit, they're entrusting them to me. And you're just like,
and you've never met them before.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of responsibility. It's a good, there's a reason churches kind of connect with Barnabas and want to send their youth there because it's just like a good opportunity to really...
It matures you.
Yeah, I'm sure that's character building. Oh, and I mean, it shows you what, how to, I mean, care for someone, honestly.
And,
I mean,
it's humbling. It's very humbling.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, and there will be some parents that will literally just say, have fun. Bye, Jimmy. I'll see you Saturday.
Those are the ones that are experienced. Like they've
been there.
We don't care if it's...
and the person who's never been to camp before and that's their camper, they're like, hi, Jimmy. And they start going off the wall and you're like, It's wild sometimes.
Damn. Yeah. But, you know, it really gave me a whole new appreciation and almost magical just feeling that is associated with a lot of these special need folks who are on various parts of the spectrum and have various aspects of their capabilities are limited, and in other capacities sometimes they're extended
or absolutely
overly sensitive. So it's just like different aspects of the human experience are being accentuated or dampened down in unique ways you don't see anywhere else.
It's a spectrum thing, right? I mean, like, in a way.
So, well, each week is specifically for a type of disability.
Okay.
So, like, week one, I don't know how much it's changed. I haven't been there since 2017. But like, so like when I was there, like week one was like for adults with autism Down syndrome. So like anyone 18 and older who had autism and Down syndrome, that was for them. That was their week. And like the second week was like kids in wheelchairs, or like cerebral palsy or stuff like that. So like anyone, you know, 17 and under could come that had that certain, and like there's, you know, kids with autism Down syndrome, adults with who are in wheelchairs. There's, it's like called ABCD week. It's like Asperger's, blind, I can't remember what the C is, but deaf or diabetes. And like that's for that week is kind of like for a little bit more higher functioning. But like, I mean, they hit on everything, and like, it's such a beautiful place because literally everything there, they can do.
Wow. Everything there is like made.
It's accessible.
Yeah. And that's, you know, camp is such a yes camp, you know, where, you know, the whole story behind camp is, the founders of the place, they, worked at Kanakuk for a long time, and the woman, her name, Paul and Cindy Tees. Cindy, she worked in the medical room or whatever. And there was one of the campers that would come in, and she had to come in every day to do like some checkups and stuff. And she asked her, she was like, if you could have one wish, what would it be? And she said, I would want to go to a camp where I felt like I wasn't the only person that had to come to the doctor every single day. Like, I want to go to a camp where, you know, I feel like everyone else. And, you know, that sparked the idea. And that's where Camp Barnabas kind of, it sprung from. And so, you know, they have, you know, really good medical teams that come in every week, like different volunteers. Like, a lot of students come in and get like hours there and stuff like that like their career for college or whatever. Like, they have like doctors there, and like, it's very professionally ran, but it also it's a summer camp. So like, it's a lot of fun. Like a lot of fun stuff there.
And they just totally normalize an environment of atypical needs and behaviors and all sorts of things. Like, you know, in the mess hall, at normal camp, there would be certain things that would not be allowed, but like at Barnabas, like stuff just like shit would just happen. Like food would get thrown and spilled everywhere, and there would there's just like disasters happening everywhere, but people aren't concerned about it.
Yeah.
And then there's needs that are being met everywhere, but no one's concerned about it. So it's just like everything is so like smooth and normalized for the campers. And there's,
it's controlled chaos, a lot of it.
Yeah. Gotcha. And there's no other place on earth really where they will ever go that's like a fully complete environment that's fully designed like for them.
Yeah.
And so it's one reason why it's so special to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean,
why it's grown so much.
Literally, there's campers that like have countdowns from the moment they leave to the moment they come back.
So stoked to go back.
Like it's literally their the best week of their life. Mm. And like that's their goal. Like that's our goal as camp counselors and, you know, staff, is to make that the best week of their life. And I mean, it is hard. It's draining. It's like, and I don't mean this in any negative way at all, but it's gross a lot of the times. Like I've been in a lot of gross, I've been kicked, I've been punched, I've been slapped, I've been spat on, I've had bodily functions on me. I mean, there's one camper, oh gosh, this is one of the grossest stories, and I don't mean this like in a way of like demeaning or anything. It literally, like, this is just the story, but a camper ate a bar of soap.
Oh no.
And in the middle of the night while we were all sleeping, and we woke up the next day and like there was just vomit everywhere.
Oh no.
Like all over him, all over his bed, all over his clothes, all over his like in his toilet, like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And my that week, he was kind of he wasn't that good.
A piece of work?
Yes, pretty much. And actually that morning I had to go do like a certain thing we do in the morning called IP, which is like a way to like get the campers excited about the day. Like we kind of like get to talk about what we do throughout the day, and we sing songs and like get we do like a little Bible study and stuff like that for the campers. And I was like, hey man, like I got to go do this. Can you take care of this? He's like, yeah, man, I got it. And I come, like, it's like, we do that. We go to IP. I'm leading it that day. And then the people that do IP, they have to go to breakfast and, like, lead breakfast pretty much and, like, pray for it. So I was there. And then I come back to the cabin later, and, like, he did not touch it.
Oh, like, no. Oh, so it just got all, like, dry. Yeah. And
so I ended up having to clean it up and... I picked up his toothbrush and it was just like dripping. It's like, oh my god.
It kind of reminds me, my sister went to something called Camp Cavett for kids with cancer.
Oh yeah.
And there would be a lot of things like that too, because a lot of kids would be on like prednisone or like drugs that would make them nauseous.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of throw up stories too. So you flooded my mind now
with
stories she told me too. I can only imagine like what the.
It's a lot. But also, you know, in the moment, you're like, this is awful. Like, this sucks. Mm-hmm. And then, but like looking back on it now, like, I feel like it's prepared me for different, you know, just different things in my life that, you know, like one day if Jennifer and I have kids, like, you know, I mean, I don't know if it'll be that extreme, but like, I feel like when you go through situations like that, it really matures
you. It's another tool in the tool belt, sort of.
Like exactly.
You're ready for.
And it introduces you to like both something that's hard and painful and dark, but also like very beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that like these parents, which you don't know if you have kids, you don't know. You really don't know how they're going to come out, basically.
It's a gamble.
And for some of these parents, like the amount of work
that
it takes
and
effort and money that it takes to take care of
bills and
the needs, it can be overwhelming. And you as a young person kind of just like facing that for a week and considering that and thinking about that, it's just like, I don't know, it's heavy and it just makes you realize that you don't know you don't know where you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to need to take responsibility mm-hmm. for.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a lot of the parents, like this 1 week of camp is literally the 1 week in their whole year that they get to themselves.
Yeah.
So and like, that, and those are the parents that are like, bye, Jimmy. I mean, a lot of first time campers, you know, they like their parents come prepared. Yeah, like yeah. They got
a list ready,
which is almost in a way kind of over, like the same kind of overwhelming feeling whenever you got a parent who drops off their kid and pieces out. And then the parent who is like, here's every single thing you need to know about their kids. Here's this food allergy,
right?
This they're right. allergic to this type of soap. They're like, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like I might kill your child this week.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then, yeah. And so like, it's two completely different opposite feelings, like of like, you know, the one parent versus the other, but also in the same way, it's still that feeling of like your life. It's not necessarily your life, but the moment you're like, oh my gosh, like this week for 5 whole days, 24/7, 24/5, I'm going to be with this responsible for this person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, for a 15-year-old and 16 and 17, you know, I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's heavy. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of every week, you know, I love, you know, missionary stories. So the people that volunteer that get paired up with the camper, they're called missionaries. They used to be called CIAs, which stood for Christians in Action.
That's epic.
CIA, Christian in Action. But then they switched to missionary. And honestly, I don't know which one I dislike more. No offense, Barnabas. I love you guys. But I mean, just the people, you know, I've seen, the real douchebags that come in and like, they're real quiet and they don't really want anything to do with camp. You're like, yeah, I'm just here because my parents sent me here. Or, I'm just here because, you know, my youth group made me come. Like, I don't want to be here. Like all this stuff. Like those kids are usually the ones that get impacted the most. And like, they come back and like, they, you know, I've seen a couple of them like serve like different weeks of the summer, wow. like come back.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that, you know,
they really needed to be taught something.
Yeah. Like yeah. you, mm-hmm. and then, you know, nowadays, like there's so many punk kids that I'm just like, dude, go work with people with special needs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's so many, you know, bitchy kids now mm-hmm. that just complain and whine and, oh, my Wi-Fi doesn't work. Hey, dude, at least you can feed yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's true. Use like, the restroom.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, all kinds of...
And but like I said, I'm not trying to be demeaning in any way. Right. I'm just saying it's facts.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's just true statements.
Yeah, you can't really argue with the truth when it's staring you back in the face.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
And there's different ways to kind of learn that lesson, mm-hmm. that life lesson.
Yeah, that's not the only way to learn.
Like, it's basically just like gratitude.
Having humility.
Yeah. Yeah, humility. And me and Jana were talking about this last night. Like the two-sided coin of gratitude and awareness / preparedness for suffering, basically. Mm-hmm. Or just like the difficulties of life. Like grateful for what you have. And you're grateful because you know how much worse it could be. Or you know that without your capacities, you know, you'd be suffering. And yeah, just like those things. And taking care of kids with special needs will check that box.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of other things that will do it.
Oh, well. Sure. Thousands absolutely.
Of other things. But
it's a really good way, though.
Yeah, no, it's a really good way.
It's a very humbling way.
And either way, I think it's... For me, as someone who's been extremely immature in a lot of ways, I've had like spikes of great immaturity, and then in other ways I've been somewhat responsible. I feel like I've been rescued from being a super immature person, basically. And part of that, I feel credit to Barnabas.
Yeah.
You know, huge credit to that, because it just makes you mature so much. But you know, also like I've had friends with special needs, and like siblings of friends, and my brother, and stuff like that. So yeah, the tie goes a little bit deeper, but, you know, just as a young person, like young people, like we don't have any trials of adulthood or whatever, sure, like becoming, yeah,
your kids.
Yeah. Like there's nothing hard that we intentionally put our kids through. Sure. Except for school, which school is a different, that's just like draining, like soul sucking. That's not like,
and nowadays, you know, a week in dangerous. The
wilderness. Like, for real.
Yeah.
Or pointless.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely pointless.
Yeah.
But
that sucks. That's a whole nother topic too.
Yeah. Like, man,
the fact that it does seem pretty pointless nowadays.
Dude, I feel so bad for all these little kids, just like,
same,
the 8, 9, 10-year-olds in school right now.
Even people I've met that are like 4 or 5 years younger than me, I'm like, wow.
Oh my gosh,
changed like drastic. It's weird. I mean, obviously we're getting older too, so it's like you can see that, and I'm sure generations before us saw the same thing, but it's just weird to start noticing it.
Oh man, I mean, I'm 26. I work with this guy who's 20 years old. He graduated 2 years ago. This is like his first big boy job.
Mm.
And like, he is literally just the most laziest person I've ever met in my life. And like, I mean, I work at Tinker, which, I mean, if you're in the working field and you work at Tinker, you've pretty much struck gold. I mean, like,
yeah.
You're a government employee, like, you know, you have wonderful benefits, you mm-hmm. have great pay, like
a lot of people fight hard.
A lot of people have been trying for years to make it out there.
They have like holiday benefits too.
Yeah, right? like we get every single holiday off. Literally, we get what's called Family Friendly Friday, which is a day to take off to spend time with family. Like we get one like every couple of months. And it's like usually right before a holiday. So it makes it an extended, like we have one coming up this Friday for Memorial Day on Monday.
Oh wow.
So like, yeah, like it is just a great place to work and people mm-hmm. want to work there. Like, especially like if you're just looking for jobs and stuff. So anyway, this kid, he pretty much got, I would say, handed this job because just through different circumstances, a lot mm-hmm. of family was involved and, mm-hmm. and like, it is just awful to see his work ethic. Dude, if you're listening right now, get a grip. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone at work that I'm on this podcast, but like, he just like almost every day, like we'll find him sleeping somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. like, it's just like, dude. And so I drive a truck and he doesn't, like, he'll sit passenger a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I asked him, I was like, did you drive today? And he was like, no. I was like, why not? He's like, I just don't really want to. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I just don't really care to. And I was like, do you know what your job title is? It's literally motor vehicle operator. You're supposed to drive. And I mean, he's only 6 years younger than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, it's just like, dude, like mm-hmm. kind of get a grip of
yeah.
reality.
I hate to apply like any labels across generations. Not that that's what you're doing. Or like general.
I'm not applying anything. I'm just talking about from own personal experiences yeah. of this person I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking for any, like for everyone. I'm speaking for this one individual.
No, totally.
That's only 6 years younger than me. And that's what I'm getting at. It like going mm-hmm. back to what you said,
mm-hmm.
like just being a couple years younger and like, there's a drastic difference.
Yeah.
Like that's yeah. what I'm getting at. Like, it's like, man, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was definitely pretty damn lazy when I was 20, but see, it's also like, I think there's both sides of it to where it's that. And it's also, things are different now. There are a lot more distractions. It's
sure.
Hard,
yeah.
It's harder to shape up in such a way to where, you know, the older people you work with would think you have a good work ethic or anything like
sure.
that.
Well, and that's like, kind of what I was saying too. Like, I'm sure people older than us thought that about us.
Totally. Yeah. Like, yeah. No doubt.
And it's true. Like it really is true. We've gotten softer and softer over time.
But oh, sure.
It's also just like the jobs are different. The needs are mm-hmm. different
yeah.
in our society and economy, all of that. But you know, there's something about hard work that really just
yeah,
there's nothing can replace it. Mm-hmm. Or just tough work and just going at it and going back at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not that I think that, like, oh, that's, you know, everyone needs to be doing that, and if you're not doing it, like, mm-hmm. whatever. If you don't have to do that, good for you. Like, it sucks for most people. It's suffering. But nonetheless, it's a different kind of suffering just to be consistently softened.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and to not have to do anything hard because, well, that's not how life works. Like, yeah. hard things come up. If you don't do hard things, then it's like worse things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just by being passive. And
well, yeah, you won't be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life's hard sometimes, man.
Mm-hmm. Dude, which I'm sure Barnabas taught you all that really quick.
Yeah, dude. Man, going back to like missionaries and stuff, there was this, you get, I mean, you see all sorts of different personalities and stuff. And like, you get the people who have never been there, but they're tryhards. Mm-hmm. Like, they just really want to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, but I had this one. His name was, he went by the name Cookie. I honestly don't even know his real name, which is kind of sad, but also not really. Like, I've met so many people. Yeah. It's really hard to yeah. keep track. And you only know these people for a week.
Right.
And then
right.
you leave and you probably most of the time never see them again.
Right.
And so he went by the name of Cookie, and he was a real nervous Nelly. And like, he just constantly wanted to do good. Gotcha. And like, so we do this thing called excursion, which is pretty much, so we have like AC cabins mm-hmm. and you know, like that, you know, we have like different things that can like, handicap accessible bathrooms, mm-hmm. stuff like that in the cabin. So they're, I mean, the cabins are pretty worn down. They need to get new ones, but mm-hmm. you know, whatever the budget is, I don't know. But anyway, there are four people though. And we go to excursion, which is camping, like legitimately, like gotcha. like campfire. You yeah. sleep in the woods. You mm-hmm. they have like this big tent that they set up, and everyone has like their own car. You can bring your hammock. Okay. You stay the night there.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds cool. It sucks. So
yeah,
like I remember, excursion was always like my least favorite, but also my favorite, because I mean it is fun, but also like,
well, it's a I'm sure it's a different type of camping.
Yeah, I mean, but it's only for one night of yeah. the whole week, and it is, because I mean you're still having to
do everything
you would have to do in the cabin, but now you're
without a facility.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. you're in the heat of the July summer.
Oh yeah,
you know. And I would say the daytime is fun, but mm-hmm. nighttime really starts to suck. Yeah. So when I was a missionary, we slept on this tarp. I have two different stories. One involves Cookie, but this one's another one. That's just a really quick, funny story. But I was a missionary. We were sleeping on this blue tarp that was literally laid out in the field. We didn't have any blankets, any pillows. Mm-hmm. I was laying on this tarp. I was so sweaty and sticky. And I hate being sweaty and sticky.
Yeah.
And I'm laying there on the tarp, and it's the middle of the night, and I'm like, I'm not even asleep. And I'm like, I gotta pee. And I was so over everything that I literally just stood up where I was and I peed. And I pissed on the tarp. Like, I did not care at this point. Like, I was sleeping like on some rocks too. And yeah. so I didn't feel yeah. like walking and like trying yeah. to like, you know, maneuver my way. I was just like, I'm just going to piss. I don't care. So I pee, and you can hear like the water, like my pee yeah. hitting the tarp. The next morning, my cabin staff, he comes up to me. He was like, hey man, just want to let you know, like I never sleep during excursions. I totally saw you pee in the middle of the night on the tarp. And I was like, yeah, sorry about that. And he's like, dude, I get it. He's like, that sucked.
That's another kind of embarrassing story.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, going back to the Cookie. So I'm a cabin staff at this point. So I'm on staff, and he's one of my missionaries. And it's in the middle of the night. We're sleeping. And I'm in a hammock. All of a sudden, Cookie has like long blonde hair. He has glasses. He's kind of a nerd almost. Mm-hmm. He comes up to me and he's like, David. I was like, what? And he's like, hey man, I just want to let you know, I saw one of the campers come out of the tent and I think he went to the bathroom, but then he went back into the tent. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, Cookie, that's fine. He just went to the bathroom. And he's like, okay, I just wanted to make sure. And I was like, okay, man, just go back to bed. And he's like, okay. And I kind of turn my head and like, I lay back down in my hammock. I hear like some ruffling going on and I turn around and I look over my like hammock, like little sheet or whatever. Mm-hmm. I like pull it down and I see Cookie and he's sitting in like one of those like chairs, like the fold out chairs.
Yeah.
He's sitting in it like this and he has his feet in another one and he literally just has a beach towel draped over his head as a blanket. And he's sitting there shivering. And I was like, I felt bad for him at that time, but also I thought back to my when I peed on the tarp and I was like, we all got to go through it, bud. Yeah. Good night.
Got to earn your stripes.
Yeah, got to earn your stripes somehow, Cookie.
So dude, that's like that reminds me of a few tour stories right there.
Oh yeah, there's been a few shivering. Yeah, just horrible.
What's like a terrible night's sleep that you guys have gotten on tour?
I'm sure Vinny and I slept on top of the van one tour, yeah. But I don't know which part was worse, sleeping in the van.
Would it just get so hot and muggy?
Well, we didn't have room, and we also didn't know anyone really on that tour at all.
Like, what tour was this one?
It was with a band called Souls. I think it was only for like a week. We just didn't really know them or the other band. We didn't really know anyone. We maybe knew like one or two people at some of the shows we played type of situation. So yeah. I always feel weird asking random people like, hey, can we sleep at your house? And I don't know. What was it like sleeping in the van for you and Chris?
Not great. It wasn't great.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know which
one.
It's
like, would you rather have like hot and cramped, but you're kind of like things are kind of carpeted and cushioned
a little bit. Kind of you're also safe,
but yeah. Or you're just on top vehicle. Of a van in a parking lot.
Jeez. Yeah, with we had pillows and blankets though. So I mean, that was me and Vinny were literally like shoulder to shoulder.
Dude, I feel afraid to fall off.
I was scared, but I kind of felt like it was kind of like a bunk bed situation.
You sure?
But we never fell
off. But with like no wooden guardrail or whatever.
Yeah, it was pretty scary, but once it's like 12 or 1 and you're already sweaty and tired, you're just kind of like, I'm ready to go to bed.
You just
pass out. Yeah, no doubt. Some food and like wake up and sun's just like right on your head. Yeah, and you're like, I guess I got to get up. I mean, was there anything else?
Real bad one was the Fossil Youth Tour when it was Flagstaff, Arizona. It was super late. It was a long fucking show and we were into it and it was just, we were so tired. Mm-hmm. And we go back to this dude's apartment. Well, this guy, he's trying to get us to go to a party. He's like, yeah, it's going to start at like 1.
Flagstaff is a college town. We noticed, or at least I noticed like towards the end that this is kind of like a party city.
Yeah.
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 Oh, and he was like, you guys want to come to a party?
Okay. He's like, no, come to the party. It's going to be awesome. We're like, I don't know. We're pretty tired. We kind of want to crash.
Sure.
He was like, okay, you can just go to my apartment. It's unlocked. And I was like, all right, that's kind of weird. We go in. I walk in immediately on the left. There's just a couple making out on the couch.
You're like, hell yeah.
That's where I slept that night. And
that's where I slept that night.
I don't know if you could call it sleep.
You rested your head on their laps. Yeah. Y'all just do you. I'm just trying to sleep.
Oh, they're like, oh, what's up? It's cool. Come in.
They have no idea who you are.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, they had no idea. He wasn't at the show.
Dude, people are so wild sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, when I think of that, I could never. Like, just random people walking in while you're making out. And you're like, oh, yeah, come on in.
Yeah. But anyway, and we kind of like sprout around in this apartment. It's a weird, like, little two-story, like, loft apartment type of thing.
Yeah.
Not a bunch of room, but, you know, not a tiny, tiny apartment. I'm asleep on the couch. It's a good spot. And then 30 minutes later, half asleep, basically the whole party shows up at that apartment.
No way.
Yeah, like they're like, Chris, oh yeah, it didn't work out over there, so we're doing it over here. Yeah,
Chris didn't work out over there.
Chris is in a sleeping bag and they're just walking over.
Yeah, people are walking over Chris on the floor.
I think someone kicked him on accident.
Yeah, someone like stepped on his
See, but I'm kind of horrible because in that time I was like definitely down to party. So I think I was drinking with a lot of the people.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Vinny, I think we're up.
Yeah, Josh and Vinny got up. And me, I was just like, nope.
We were like, hey, there's a party.
I'm here on the couch.
Might as well party.
Might as well.
And like, I was just, you know how you can be in a party and it's just so loud? Like, people have to start talking louder and louder.
Yeah, and you just,
to where they're yelling.
Yeah,
music starts playing.
And
people are getting drunker or higher.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm just in the same room that this party's happening. And it's so, my eyes are closed and it's just so loud. It's like, I can't imagine that it's possible to fall asleep with this much noise. But if it is possible, I'm going to fucking find out. I'm going to lay here and I'm going to pretend to be asleep. I don't care. Like,
and you were on the couch?
I was on the couch just in the same room that this whole party was happening.
Taking up sitting spot, man.
I know, dude.
Yeah. And basically, it worked. I fell asleep eventually. But
dude, that's crazy. See, but if you would have partied, then you got a little alcohol in your system. You could have passed out.
No, I felt. I think.
No,
was,
I know. Yeah, I that's I what. I, that was my plan. I told Vinny, I was like, they're not gonna be quiet. We should just get some drinks.
If you can't, beat them, join them.
Yeah, that probably would have been.
I can't remember a lot. I can eventually sleep anywhere type of. I can't sleep sitting up, but like I'm trying to think of really horrible.
Most of the time, it's just. It's a floor, and that's the worst thing. And if it's a hardwood floor, you're just like, fuck.
I did sleep on a kitchen floor on the Omen tour, like, right before COVID.
That's floor. That's the worst, except
no
for a
blanket.
Bathroom floor.
I forgot my blanket in the van, and I didn't want to go back down because it was, like, a weird apartment. And this person didn't have furniture in their house. They had, like... four cats and one of them had kittens. Yeah. And so I would like be trying to go to sleep and two or three of the kittens would have the zoomies and they would just like run on me. Like they'd be like
the zoomies
just using me as like a ramp. Literally. I'd be laying
I'm fast as fuck.
I would feel one just go and like the other one they'd tackle each other. Yeah, that was probably the worst. Cat hair everywhere, smells like cat pee.
Dang.
Yeah, cats running on you. Just like.
That's pretty bad.
Every time eyes like open up really quick, like, oh my gosh, I hate this cat.
That's truly a feeling of like being trapped
in
some of those situations. Like, I remember sleeping in the van one time. I was on the floor in between the benches. There was stuff under the benches. And I was just like in a mummy position because that was the only position I could fit in. And there's just like a box immediately here to my left that my nose would touch if I looked to the left. And then there's like a bag to my right. And at one point, I was just like getting so claustrophobic and everyone else was asleep. And it's not even like there's nowhere else to sleep. It's like I can't physically get up.
Yeah.
If I get up, I'm going to have to push the person who's above me on the bench. And I can't get out, or else I have to push two other people out. So I'm truly trapped in this purgatory for the rest of the night.
In this purgatory.
Yeah.
Dude, at least the tooth has been pretty good at organizing our stuff in the back. Omen was not. And we made a little cubby for people to sleep in the back of the van.
Mm-hmm. Just like all the luggage.
There's also gear that's stacked to the ceiling. So we didn't account for if someone made a turn. All the gear were just...
Oh.
So one time someone was sleeping and it happened.
Oh, shoot.
Just you hear them go, oh. And like everything is just bags, like heads, guitar cases. And you're just like under it. And we were too lazy.
Talk about purgatory.
Yeah. We were too lazy to figure out a different system. So you would just have to be like...
Jeez.
Like, shove it up. And
climb
then,
out of it. Like you just survived.
Go back to sleep.
An earthquake.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer camping over all that. We should just camp next time if that ever happens.
Dude, yeah, just get some hammocks.
That's hard. More. It's more gear though. That's the thing. Well, it always depends on your situation, but I'm a camping boy, so I can always do that.
I don't mind camping.
I just can't imagine camping and having to be responsible for
a bunch for of like people. 10 people with special needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trip.
Yeah.
It's a, I mean, yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, and the bathroom situation is always pretty like rough.
If they have to use the restroom, you essentially have to use it. Not use it, but you have to get up with them.
You have to get up with them.
Yeah.
You have to, like, get out of your hammock.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m. You're like, God, I hope I don't step on a sticker.
Right.
Right.
No, like, one of my campers, the first 2 nights, he just wailed all night.
Oof.
Just wailed. And I was just, like, sitting by his side. And he would get a little bit of comfort every little while by, like, moving from going outside on the porch thing and then like back inside. But it was just like, I was just sitting.
Do you remember who your cabin staff was?
I don't remember. That was Lance, though, if you remember Lance.
Wasn't Lance the one that liked the tubes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had the tube things that he'd play with.
Yeah. Do you guys have any campers that became like friends whenever you would go?
Well, most of my campers were far too like low functioning.
Gotcha.
A lot of them were non-verbal. Okay. The ones that are coming to my head.
Yeah.
So there's not really much of it unless you see them again. There's not really much of a chance.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't know if it worked like that.
For some people, sure. Like, I've learned my lesson. So my first week ever as a cabin staff person, like campers would ask for my phone number and I'd give it to them. And
I gotcha.
Not trying to be demeaning or anything, but like it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, it's just constantly. And like, eventually over time, I just started saying like, I don't give out personal information anymore. Like if you have Facebook, please friend me on Facebook. Yeah, we can keep up that way. But I don't like to give out like emails or phone numbers anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a lesson I learned. And like, it's funny just like thinking back on my time at Barnabas, like how much like I changed. Like my first week, I gave like all my missionaries and volunteers my phone number, and they were like, oh yeah, we're going to be in a big group chat and everything. It's going to be awesome. And like the group chat happens, but then like you have to, so like when you do camp, you have to turn in your phone for the week. And so like, I give my, like you only have your phone for like the time off. Mm-hmm. And then the next day when like the new batches of volunteers come in, you have to turn in your phone
for like a day basically.
Yeah, so you pretty much have your phone for like 24 hours a week.
Gotcha.
And like I would get like, so you would give them your phone number. This only happened once because I learned my lesson once and I was like, I'm never doing that again. But my first time back of getting my phone, like I opened my phone and I had like over 300 messages.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just like, nope.
And that was back when phones were way different.
Yeah, I mean, that was back in 2014. Yeah. And I saw that and I was like, man, like there's no way I can do this. And so like, if I keep this up, like it's just gonna, my phone's gonna break.
Yeah.
So I'd no longer gave out my phone number anymore. And like, but it's funny cause like the messages like slowly die down because going back to life starts happening. And you only know these people for a week.
That's true.
But you do build such a strong bond because when you're at camp, you go through stuff together with people.
Yeah.
Like you go through situations where you're like, this is hard. Like,
holy shit, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had so many of those moments. And, like, it's a lot. But friends-wise, working at prep, you know, so we had 20 students. And, like, you get really close because you're with them 24/7 for 9 months.
Right.
And like,
and you're teaching them how to do everything.
Yeah, you're teaching them everything. Like camp is just like a very yes camp. Like, oh, you want to go do that? Let's go do it, and we'll make it awesome.
Right.
Where prep is like, you don't want to do that? Well, you know, let's kind of back up. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it eventually, but you're gonna have to wash the dishes or whatever. Like, you know, it's just a part of life. You know, if you made the mess, you're going to be the one to clean it up.
Right.
Like you're teaching them how to live as independents, where at camp, if they make the mess, you clean it up. But that's okay because it's camp.
Yeah,
it's
their fun. Yeah, they get to have fun.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they get to do whatever they want. And that's the beauty of it. But yeah, prep and camp are two completely different ball games. Gotcha. Like one of our students at prep was actually a bridesmaid in our wedding.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and cool. like we call her often. She'll call us and like
awesome. That's
yeah, really cool. It sucks because I mean, like, I have lost contact with a lot of the students, but that's okay. I mean,
life happens. We just started this by talking about we lose contact with even our old closest friends. Like, closest friends. So, I mean, it happens.
And it's hard because, you know, they're just off doing their own thing and we're doing our own thing. And it's kind of hard to get in contact with them because you have to get, like, you would have to get in contact with their parents first and go through them to get to them. And it's, I don't know. But I mean, prep is just such a cool program. Prep is so different now compared to when I was there. Like, they've bought bigger facilities, and like the prep house that we lived in, that was where our school was. That was like where everything was. And now they just simply use it as a living facility. Everything, like, they've bought in other properties, like where they get to like commute to go to the classes and stuff. Like,
that's cool.
Like, they have their own kitchen now. Like, it's really improved. I haven't been there in years. But
I mean, there's a huge percentage of our just the population, you know, maybe 10%, well, no, more than 10% that's on the spectrum, but, you know, maybe 10% that get to the point to where most work is cut out for them. And it's like, we need to imagine a future, and we need to start building a future where those people are integrated into our society and not outcast.
Yeah.
Not that they're totally outcast, but, you know, like, most of your exposure to people with special needs is very distant, and you don't ever get to see the human element, only the disabilities that are obvious on the surface. And that's most people's kind of impression or understanding. But I guess I wanted to ask you, just like, maybe even to close this off, what do you think people most misunderstand about, just all the different people with special needs, or just that whole world and kind of what you've learned from it?
Well, I mean, most of us, they just want to be involved. Like, a lot of them just want to, you know, feel like they're included. Like,
see, and already, not to interrupt you, sorry.
No, but you're good.
Already, like, an inclination that is natural that people feel is that, like, you almost feel like, oh, I should leave you alone. Like but it's mostly because that feels comfortable, but that feels like the right thing or the respectable thing to do. But it's like, actually, they want to be involved. They want to belong.
Yeah. I mean, but also some people don't, but I don't want to be involved in everything too. Like, I mean, like, the way I've always seen it is they are just, you know, they're just people who, you know, they just struggle a little bit more with different things and, you know, they want to do, you know, certain things that we can't, like, that they can't do. And, like, that's the, like, that's why I love Barnabas so much, is because, you know, the whole goal, and there's flaws in everything in life, but the whole goal of camp and prep is to make that accomplished. They want to do things. Let's do it. You know, like, and so, I don't know, like, and prep really does work. Like, so I was there for 2 years, and one of the students, he was definitely our hardest student. And he, when he first came in, like, he couldn't do anything.
Wow.
Like, he was nonverbal by choice. And when he did talk, like, it was always yelling or he just was so mad at the world. And it turns out, like, growing up, like, he wasn't like that. He had brothers and he had siblings, and they all went to college and he stayed home. And his parents were telling us, you know, that really wrecked him, because he lost his siblings and he was just at home. And, you know, it's one of the, he can't express that because he chooses not to.
Right.
And like, I mean, you pretty much had to tell him every single thing to do in order for him to do it. And like, over time of being there for 2 years, he learned so many different skills and abilities. And he actually, oh man, I'm gonna cry. He actually gave the graduation speech. Wow. At the very end.
Wow.
Yeah, when that second year, so my first year, it was their first year, and I was the only, we're called fellows. Mm-hmm. I was the only fellow to return for a second year. And yeah, he was the one who gave the graduation ceremony speech. Hell yeah.
That's cool.
It was sick, dude. Damn. I cried like a baby when he spoke. And the cool thing was they had rehearsal the day before, and I was doing something. I don't remember what I was doing at the time, but I couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that he was giving the speech. And all of a sudden he gets up there and he starts talking.
Were you kind of nervous?
For him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what my initial thoughts were. I just remember sitting there, and like, it was like, because my second year of prep was really hard on me. I've been in the Barnabas world for 2 years of my life. I was engaged to Jennifer. I didn't really bond. My first year of prep, all the fellows that I worked with, we bonded so well. Mm-hmm. Like, we were all, like, we still all talk pretty much a lot. My second year of prep, I didn't really, no offense guys if you're listening, I didn't really bond with any of them that well. There was only one fellow that I really bonded with. Do you remember Matt Faustin?
No.
He was one of the flower boys in my wedding.
Oh.
I have flower boys.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like five of my close friends, like bigger guys, and they were throwing flowers.
That's great.
Yeah, but anyway, so he was a flower boy, and he was a fellow with me. And him and I really clicked well together, but all the other fellows, like, it was just like such a different world compared to what it was the year before, because like all of us meshed together so well, and then the next year it wasn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. And I really, really struggled with that because I missed that bond and that connection,
that element.
So yeah, going into graduation, knowing, you know, this is going to be like one of my last things I do with Barnabas for a long time, so I was already emotional. Yeah. And then Zach got, oh yeah, his name is Zach, he got up there and he gave the speech. And he actually like talked about his brothers and his siblings moving to college and how that really affected him. And he was like, it made me really sad. But then like I came to prep and I made friends. Oh dude, I'm going to cry.
No, that's awesome though. It's cool that he, yeah, like noticed that and was able to talk about it. Yeah. And through,
it was really sick. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was really cool. Crying like a baby. Oh my gosh.
I can only
imagine. Was not ready for it. It wrecked me. And then, yeah, Barnabas, I talked to like the CEO of Barnabas, and I was like, you know, I've loved Barnabas so much, but it's time for me to take a step back. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I know it's my time. Like I've been doing this for so long. And, you know, he was really respected. Like he respected it a lot because he was like, if you know, you know.
Right.
And like,
right.
He was like, you've been doing this since 2009, like, and it's 2018. Like, you're good, man.
Yeah. Almost like, 10 years. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's wild.
And I was like, but I mean, I, you know, thank you. So yeah. That, and then, yeah, I was engaged to Jen. And then in October of that year, we got married at camp.
Awesome.
So, yeah, dude, it's pretty sick.
Symbolic.
Stuff. Yeah. And then, yeah, I've only, and since that time, man, I really have been out of the world of special needs. And like, I miss it a lot, but like, also it's been really good for me too. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot. And I applaud people in the special needs department. It's a different world. And like, it's a hard world, but it's a very rewarding world. Mm. And you know,
yeah. Yeah, you're thinking about other people all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, you're constantly caring for other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes
other than yourself.
I'm sure it'd be hard to focus on, yeah, things in your life that, you know, I can see how that'd be challenging.
Yeah.
While doing that.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is a special topic for me in a lot of ways. And it's always great to talk to you.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for sharing all this.
Yeah, thanks for giving us your time.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's been an honor.
Any final shout outs or
messages? Shout out to Edmundo. He really wanted me to shout him out.
Shout out to Edmundo. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We love you. Bye.
All right. Later. See ya.